he got a hold of my leg with one of his hands. It was twisted up, fella. He was real twisted up. But he got a hold of me, boy. Woo! That hurt me. And I jerked away from him, and I got him by the throat. And I said, listen to me. Man, I'll jerk a knot in your tail. Don't you touch me like that again. You ain't got the right. I would heal you if I could. I'm not in charge of that. My responsibility is to get up here and as best I can and as clear as I can tell the truth. That's basically it for me. Then it's on to the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the faith, and on all those mixed up ideas. It's true. And man, God hit that joint. There was like, I don't remember how many. It was a bunch. It wasn't 4,000, but it was over 3. Pastors and wives, man, and it was on like Donkey Kong, boy. Bang! I got knocked out. I was fixing to pray for all these people. Bang! I wake up and I look at my watch, man, she's down the creek about 2 or 3 hours. And I'm laying there and all of a sudden I hear this laughing, you know. And I can't get up. I'm stuck. And I notice these shoes. I'm looking at the shoes. I'm laying down looking at the shoes. And I told the fellow, I said, would you help me up? He said, no. He said, all I am here to do is exemplify the truth. And that's about basically all I'm supposed to do. I said, that's not very nice. And you know what? After a while, I was able to raise up on my, you know, I couldn't walk yet, but I could raise up. And I raised up, and I look, and I went up them britches, and I noticed them britches. I recognized them. It was the guy in the wheelchair. While I was knocked out, the Holy Ghost smashed him, jerked him up out of that chair, and he had been running the whole time. Healed. Completely healed. And I was pretty pleased. But what was funny to me, what is that? It was that he was making fun of me. He was laughing and laughing and laughing. Laughing and laughing and laughing. Little trinkets around. So y'all in Proverbs yet? Verse 5. Come and eat. Is anybody still hungry? I'll sit there today. I'll tell you, thank y'all, everybody, for y'all's time. I've been here with y'all more days than I've ever been anywhere in a long time. I don't do this. And it's not that I'm special or anything. It's just I'm busy. Lots of people that want to hear about Jesus, and it surprised you how many there are. There's quite a few out there. And so if they want to listen, I want to hear. I want to be the one to talk, right? Jesus' name, Shetabataba. And, that brings me up a story. Can I tell you a story? I'll act like I'm telling everybody. There was a girl, one of our pastor's daughters. And she got a little disgruntled with the gospel. And happens. Hypocrites cause lots of people to go to hell. And, and this pastor's daughter, she was there. She went through the whole thing with her parents. You know, the bashing that you take for standing with the truth and walking in the gospel. And the kids don't understand that and don't like it. And so when she got up there where she was able to motivate on her own, she bailed. She left. And she went to Mexico City. I wouldn't suggest that to anyone unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And she went up there. She gets off the bus. This is the Indian girl from the Monte. Y'all understand Monte? She's a hillbilly. Never been to the big city in her life. She gets off the bus. Does anybody know what happened next? Gangs wait at the bus station to pray on these young people as they come out of the mountains, that they're not educated and they don't understand anything about the modern world. They grab her. One of them injects her with drugs. They take her to their place and they rape her and fill her with drugs and that, and over and over and over. But the problem is, these Indians are super spiritual folks. And so when you introduce them to a new realm, these spirits come after them that may or may not come after anybody else. And she, this is horrible. But here's how it went. She got demon possessed, and it was too much for the gang. So they threw her out naked in the street. This is one of our daughters. All the pretties, look at them. I hope they hear me. It's not worth the 20 years. And so they started announcing it on the radio. And one of my pastors comes to me and says, I think that's our daughter, you know, from this other work, our other church. He goes, I think that's our pastor's daughter over there. I'm going to go get her. And she's in shackles, right? And she's got a mouth thing on. They got her chained up. They brought her to the village. This is wonderful. What I'm fixing to tell you is a wonderful thing. It may be too far. Is it too far? You sure? This is pretty weird. Okay. This is going to go there. I forgot about that when I started it. Oh. Y'all have what's called a limited version of the gospel. And I'm not saying we don't. I'm just saying it's not as limited as yours is. But I am trying to make sure that we're getting a broader view of the power. That's what submission and fasting and prayer and meditating the scriptures and listening to counsel and submitting to authority. That's what that's all about. It's so that God will let you increment yourself in deeper and further and broader and wider and more of it. Okay. All right. So there you go. So they was able to get this girl home, and they got a chain and a lock and locked her to a post. It's a center post in the middle of the little church building. And they locked her to that post, and she's there growling. Rawr, you know, going to eat them. Because if she gets off those chains, she will eat those people. Eat them like a piece of meat. She'll eat them. And this is what we did for 30 days straight. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 30 days. This is how it went. Everybody that went there, I was there several times. That's what you do. So you see what I did a while ago? This is it. Jesus' name. As you're busy in life, your priority has always got to be the one that needs you. Not what you need, but the one that needs you. And you're constantly, every chance you get, going by and just touching Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Father, you are awesome. Over and over and over. I don't know how many times we touched her. I don't know how many people touched her. But then all of a sudden, on the end of the 30th day, pastor goes out there in the morning early. They're early risers to pray and that. And he goes in there, and she's just looking at him and blinking. And he goes over there and he undoes the chain around her head and takes it, the because she was really a vocal human being. She says, I'm back now. So he unchained her, clothed her, tended her wounds. And then one by one, everybody started coming. And then, you know, it was just Holy Ghost miracle. She was completely delivered. And she is the most, she's a pastor's wife now. She's one of our main pastor's wives. So, do you want to know what it was that came out of her? It was these bugs came out of her. T
So that stuff falling, what is that? It's just lots of it falling. It's odd looking stuff. And so I'm piling it up here.
While we were there, I was doing an elders meeting, and there was my boys were doing church, and there was several hundred people in there. You know, and all of a sudden we get raided. You know, they raided us. We was doing important stuff, you know, like managing the world's problems. And they come in there and get us, and this girl's going into another fit. So we went running in there. There were these, I don't know what y'all call them here in California, but they're harvester ants. They're about between a half an inch and 3/4 of an inch long, and they will bite the fire out of you. And them things are horrible. Every pore of her skin, those things came out and fell on the ground dead. And she was from then on healed and delivered. Something, huh? Holy Ghost. In the name, that's what I'm saying, is the whole deal about touching as much as possible without annoying you. That's too late, right? Come and eat. Who's hungry? Who's hungry? I spent a few hours today, yesterday, the day before, the day before, and the day before, and the day before, and the day before, for the last 30 years. I spent them listening to the Bible all day today and speaking in tongues. And I find myself, the more I find the Holy Ghost, the more enthusiastic I am about doing what's right to get the job done. It's an odd thing because around me, people that I know are going the other way. The more successful and accomplished life becomes for them, the less they seek God, and they have to turn to alternate means instead of the Holy Ghost. I haven't seen the success that other men pat me on the back, and I look at them and I wonder, what are they doing? What's up? I don't see it. What I see is my need for the Holy Ghost. What I see is the need for her to be healed. What I see is the power of the gospel. So jump over there in John quick before I get telling stories and forget. I want to get a couple of these verses out. Because there's one I want to hit on tonight. I'm trying to get to it. It might not make it, but we might. John 6:33, for the bread of God is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Tell Jesus thank you for leaving heaven and coming here for me and giving me life and giving it to me in abundance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, you know, you hear me talking, and if you didn't know, really, if you honestly didn't know that I am a 35-year veteran, the way I talk is like a new Christian. See? How about that? Isn't that right? See, when I first got slapped with the Holy Ghost back here a long time ago, in 1970-something, I don't remember, 70-something, 5, was it? You on the front row in the black lady. You know, it was a long time ago. When I got popped, I was going down there because there was this fellow, this missionary from Africa, that was telling these stories like I tell now, and I was sitting in the back, fresh out of the gangs and out of the oil field. Y'all know anybody like that? I wouldn't mess with them if I was you. They mean it when they say stuff. And I'm sitting back there and I got my Bible out because I'm a preacher's kid. I know the Bible. You're not going to trick me. I know the Bible. My mom and daddy taught me from cover to cover. I'm not doing any of it, but I know it. And so I get this, you know, and this fellow tells this story. The thing that got me was the frog. I was okay with all them other miracles till he told me about the frog. There was this big old wound on this woman's leg and this bullfrog jumped out. And when the bullfrog jumped out, whack, she's healed. And when he said that, that was it for me. I shut my Bible, threw it at Miss Hogan, bam! Picked up the bench in front of me and got myself some space. And I stood up, it's a long ways up there. And I'm looking at that skinny missionary. And his voice spoke to me. Shut him up. And I said, smart voice. So I started walking up there going, and the guy just, when I started walking, he never stopped talking. He just walked down off the platform. He's looking at me. I started coming. I'm in a rage now. It's on. I'm putting him down. I'm reared back. It's going to happen. There ain't no way it's not. And he raises up his hand. This is in broad daylight in the church. And he says, Jesus. And when he said Jesus, one time, wasn't none of this wild fanaticism, crazy, louder you get, better God hears your stuff. And I was in full stride doing this. I'm a gang guy. I'm going to get you. And I'm going to take the consequences of it. I'm good. But he goes, Jesus. And I flew. Pew. It's like everything went in slow motion for 3 days. I'm telling you, I was diligent to go to work. I liked the money. Oil field money is good money. I liked it. You know, and for 3 days, I couldn't even get out of bed. She had to help me. I was like some kind of invalid. I couldn't talk. I'd look at her. She'd come there with my favorite food. I'd just look at her. I went on for 3 days. And finally, I came back. Finally, I came back to where I could talk. And I asked my brother-in-law, because they was all with me, because they was nervous, because it's not the problem of getting God to hit you. Everybody believes, you know, this wild human needs God to hit him. That's not your problem. It's when they wake up. Because they're not going to understand what could have had the power to do that. They're not going to get that. And my brother-in-law was standing there laughing at me. I mean, for 3 days. And I stood up off that thing finally. My legs worked finally. They had stopped working. I said, what was the name of that stuff that he hit me with? He said, it's called the power of the Holy Ghost. And I said to him, how you get that? He said, you're on your way. He said, that thing had a hold of you for all these days on purpose. Because God's going to take you and use you. I said, how often is this going to happen? And his answer was, I don't know that answer. And so I went out of there. Could you imagine how energetic I was? I'm freshly out of the gangs. I'm out in the oil field. I'm an energetic fella. And now I've got the Holy Ghost. I don't need beer and dope and I don't need all that stuff that seemed used to. I needed it so much. But now, I walked into this bar where I used to frequent. And all these bouncers and all these people know you by name and that. So I walk in. And I called this fellow by name because I knew he was the one that had all the drugs. I said, sit down. And in those days you told me, yes, sir. Or my gun comes out. Then you said, yes, sir. And I still had my gun, so it was the same. And so he says, what do you want? I said, I'll come here to tell you something. What do you you want, Hogan. I said, I come here to tell you, you got to be born again. He says, I'm not going to get born again. I said, then you're going to get dead. I said, simple choice. He says, you got your pistol? I said, yes, sir. I sure do. He said, I got something for you. And he had these crackers and he got put this dope in there. It was on purpose deal. They were after me as much as I was after them. You need to figure that out. The tricks, the Spanish calls it acechanzas del diablo. The tricks and rudeness of hell. Modern Christianity don't make allowances for this kind of power. They don't. You really believe you good. And what you are is deceived. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. They fed me that dope, and I knew it was dope. And I sit right there. It was just like a movie. And I sit there. I made the whole bar is there now. And I am preaching the gospel like a madman. I said, you will get born again or every one of you will die. And it won't be my bullets to do it. There's a power called the Holy Ghost that I never knew existed. And it don't matter how many of us there are, this thing can get us all. And you know what? 60% of those men and women in that bar, that gang I was with, are born again and on fire for God. Today. Woohoo! Woo, woo, woo! Shadababa! Bread of life. Woohoo! Let's jump to another verse. I'm trying to get to this miracle. I missed it for a few days, and we'll see if I can get it. Oh, answer that quick. Is it mine, Miss Hogan? No. Sound like my ring. Okay. John 11:23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, yeah, I know he will in the resurrection. See, most of y'all got that sorted out. But Jesus said to her, I am. That's present tense. I speak several languages. That's different than I'm going to be. That's different than I was. It's right now, I am the resurrection. I understand that every one of us have opportunity of faith. There ain't a body in here that don't need Jesus to touch it. It's just varying degrees. I got that. But I'm telling you, the I am is here tonight and can fix it all. Every bit of it. Woo! Yeah. And then back over to Isaiah. Remember we did where is that? Oh, yeah, I got it. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Wait and listen, everyone. Who is thirsty in here? Raise your hand. Tengo sed también, hermano. Cristo vive. Fuego y poder. Fuego y poder. Shut up, Baba. Woohoo! Woohoo! I tell y'all, I got the best job in the world. Wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. That's me. Come to the water. All right. I'm not going to do the river thing. It's not going to get a hold of me in Jesus' name. But let's go over here to Isaiah 12. That's the whale deal. Y'all know that, right? Isaiah 12, and in that day I will say, I will give thanks to the Lord, Isaiah 12:1. For you was angry with me. Everybody in this room, my wife was always a good person, but God was just as mad at her as he was at me for being a bad guy. It was the same until we bowed our knee to Jesus. And then it left. Brand new day. Today is a new day. Fresh slate. Starting over. All the memories hell charges you with and attacks you with, that's not coming from God. That's a lying spirit when you think it's God. God forgave you. You are forgiven. That makes you blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Some of you, you know, have allowed yourself to be deceived into, you know, it's my lot in life to walk a few days, you know, a little way. Oh, fella, oh, praise the Lord, help me, God. Listen, won't you get over yourself and quit enjoying the lust of the flesh? How about it? It's backbone time, darling. God is with us. Come on. Quit believing in the power of weak. Believe in the power of strength. So it says right here, I will give thanks. Have you noticed I like to do that? Because God's not mad at me anymore. Woohoo! That's where you go, woohoo! And he comforts me. So over there in John, who is our comfort? Holy Ghost. He's my comforter. He's my strength. He's my joy. He's my redeemer. He's my life. He's my protector. He's my healer. Shedababa. Behold, God, my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Verse 2. Say it with me. Trust. Come to me. Fearlessness. Come to me. Courage. Come to me. In Jesus' name. Shedababa. It says, so, look here, verse something or other, hang on. Oh, yeah, there it is. 3. Therefore, with joy, we draw waters from the wells of salvation. Okay, all right. Everybody got a cup. So, let's take it and dip it in the well. Hey, come on. Come on, get you a drink of that joy. Woo! Come on, salvation. Come on, salvation. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Okay, let's do another verse. I'm getting bored with that. Let's go to, let's do this one. I talk about this a lot. Let's go over to Matthew 10. And let's look at a verse or two there. You know, I've been working with this fella. He called me today. I've been working with him since 1975. That's a long time. He and I have been working. How long is that? I don't know how long. That's a long time. 32 or 33 years, something like that. 37. What? It's 37 years? Man, y'all getting old. He calls me today. He said, man, do I have a good thing to say to you? You know, when he and I talk, we only talk about two subjects, healing miracles and souls. There's nothing else we talk about. It don't have value. Why do I care what he's wearing? What do I care? What'd you have for supper last night? Is it raining where you are? Golly. Man, you got a weird life. I don't like your life. I like mine. He says to me, man, oh man, I'm glad I got you. I said, yep. Yep, I'm sitting here worshiping God. He said, yep. He said, that's one thing I can count on. For the last 40 years, he said, I can count on, if I call you early enough, I got you. Because I know you're worshiping God. See, that's the testimony all your co-workers need to know about you. And I said, what do you want? He says, I got to tell you this. There's this fella that was confined to a wheelchair for lots of years, up in a mountain, no hope, no help, no nothing. And they got there. These boys, well, since I've been gone, they got up in this village way up there. And they went in there, and of course, the people brought them to this guy's confined to the wheelchair. And he was hostile. You know, he's cursing everybody. God, America, Mexico. He's cursing everybody. And he goes, so, what brought you out here? And Jeff Baker, did I thank y'all for that vehicle? I don't remember. Did I? Okay. All right, thank you. In case I didn't, thank you. Thank you. He uses it. He still does. Still good shape. Awesome. Okay. Anyway, God says, why are you up here? And Jeff, you got to know Jeff. Jeff is prophetic. I like him around. I wouldn't even have nothing to do with him at all because he's from Minnesota. You know, he's from the wrong end of the Mississippi. Where I live, there's redfish. Where he lives, there's little bitty trout that big. And so, you know, he says, God brought me out here to find you. And the guy goes, look, I'm educated myself. Just because I'm confined to this wheelchair and I live in poverty, you know, and he went on and on and on and on, and on about the power of hell that had him combined. He says, you don't have any right to come up in here and abuse me. And Jeff goes, excuse me, you think a lot of yourself, don't you? You think I'm going to go leave America and come and find you in the state you're in, in the poverty you're in, just to say, ha ha. You got devils, he told him. You got devils. And the guy says, you're right, I do. He said, but there's no one to help us get rid of these devils. Jeff said, they laid hands on this guy. Nothing happened. The guy's still cursing him. As far as they can see him, he's cursing them. They can hear him. But this time they went back. He was just on a six-day trip out there staying in the Monte. And they went back to that village, Querétaro. It's in Querétaro, the state of Querétaro. And he goes up there. And the man that was in the wheelchair walks out and says, I had determined that I was going to kill y'all next time I saw you if your God didn't heal me. Now, what's this? Y'all left, heat came on my body, and I stood up and walked. Yeah. Woo! Woo, 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 woo. Come on, wellspring of living water. Come on, bread of life. Come on, the Holy Ghost. And the guy says, what was the name of that fella? that healed me? Jeff said, his name's Jesus. He said, so what do I owe that guy? Jeff says, your life. You will preach the gospel with us and you will heal the sick and raise the dead with us. Because what happened to you is the same thing that happened to us. And how we were sent, you will be sent. He said, how do I get to that, to him? Jeff says, that's why I'm here. And they knelt and led the man to Jesus. Awesome, huh? Woo-hoo. Yay! Okay, let's do this first. Matthew 10. Y'all there? As you go, and I have to say it just because it's sitting there, but the go word is not an option. Somewhere along the trail, somebody talked you into believing that you know more than God does about the Bible. Wait and listen doesn't have anything to do with going and preaching. That has to do with finding the Father so you can be empowered to go preach. If you're going to eat this bread of life and live forever, if you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost with endless power, you need to do what it says. It says go. Every time I talk to Jeff, there's always, you realize when you're running 1,200 churches, you realize how many problems there are? And in our work, we're a part of a council group over like 4,500 churches now. So there's no way to describe to you how many problems there are that we face every day. But every time the man calls me, it's always this. I was preaching the gospel and X amount of people got saved and X amount of miracles that we saw in front of us. That's the first thing out of his mouth every time. If you want to talk to a guy like me, you should start out with souls. And then I calm down. I don't put my shield down nor my sword, but I stop looking at you with it. As you go, what you going to do? You are. What you going to say? What happens next? What's in your Bible? Except for this front row, none of them have a Bible. They must know the whole Bible by verse, by heart. Heal the sick. What happens next? What happens next? What happens next? What happens next? Freely you have been given. What do you do with it? A few days ago, I was in Mexico. It's about 2 months now. It was my last conference before coming out to do this run right here. It wasn't very big. It wasn't very many people. It was only probably 200-300, maybe 250 people, we'll say. It's early in the morning, and there's a little grandma sitting there. She says, I've been waiting on you. And I look at her. Don't know you. She said, no, but I know the man that you authorized to come here whose name is Jesus. I said, what'd he do for you? She said, well, I was over there at the house dying. Everybody had give up on me. I had cancer and my uterus was out of my body. I was in pain like a way beyond childbirth. It was horrible. And one of my daughters comes in there. I'm gripping the bed. And my daughter says, Los evangelicos ya van a llegar. Those gospel people are coming. She said, I told my daughter, Whatever they want, pay them. Get them over here. And it was myself and Jeff again. And we believe that you don't have to pay us. You can ask these elders and these pastors here. I never negotiated any kind of money to come here. It's illegal to negotiate money. God does that for you. So, this little grandma, we set up our tent and got our music going, doing what we do. And then some people come running up, you know, jump, grandma, blah, 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 dying, blah, blah, blah. Jeff tells me, I need to go, David. I said, all right, I'll take care of this. You go there. Now, listen. They went and laid hands on this woman with all this stuff. Cancer, her uterus is out. She's old. Those people prayed for her, Jeff and two or three of our guys and a couple of pastors. And they prayed for her. Left, nothing happened. That was the first day. The second day is whenever I saw her in the front. And she comes up to me. I've been looking for you, she said. And this is way out of character for village people. She reaches and gets me, pulls me in close, hugs me and kisses me on the cheek. She says, I want to tell you thank you for not being a liar. I said, what are you talking about? She said, my uterus started burning. And it just by itself went back up in my body. The pain, she said, I felt it reconnect. The pain left. The bulges, the tumors, they're all gone. Okay, let's do another one real quick. Mark 16. You notice how famous these verses are I'm reading to you? They work. These things work. Mark 16 and verse 17. Y'all want to read it with me? Somebody's got a Bible? I'm going to read it in Amplified. These attesting signs will accompany. Say that with me. Accompany.
Accompany.
Now say this with me. I command you,
in
Jesus' name,
to accompany
me, because I believe, because I believe, because I believe. They have to obey you. You don't obey them. Quit following them around trying to beg them into getting something done. Signs follow. Believers, they're in the wake of the bread of life in you, the blood covenant in you, the wellspring of life of the Holy Ghost in you. It says you can drive out devils and speak in tongues and pick up serpents. And you know, the other day me and Miss Hogan was in a Virginia or North Carolina? Where was we? No, with them snake handler folks. Do you remember? I don't remember if it was North Carolina or Virginia. And I leaned over Miss Hogan. You know, these folks, there's a few bubbles off. You know, the bubble wasn't even in sight no more is how far they went. And I leaned over and told Miss Hogan. I said, look here, let me give you my advice. I said, they finna bring out this big box in a minute, and you're gonna hear them rattling snakes in there. Look in the box and get the biggest one. By the time you get him up, because see, I learned this when I was a kid. I lived in a swamp. I grew up in a swamp. You take them big cottonmouths or them big scary things, and you grab them by the head and flip their tail up, and you swing them. Bam! You can pop the head off, and they never get to bite you. You bite them before they bite you. And I told Miss Hovind, you just pick that big old snake up, and by the time you get him up, I'll have that other by the rattler, and I'll pop his head off. You just throw him over to me. We'll go through every one in that box. We'll get them all. You got to have a plan. You know what her response is? Like it is always, done. She always says that. And we just kept looking for them snakes, but man, I was so excited, you know. I was vibrating. I was so excited looking for them snakes. But I guess they figured me out because I was going to kill them snakes. I was going to bite their head off. I'll go show them some fun stuff. I learned in the swamp. But anyway, snakes, they're not, I got bit not long ago, a couple of years ago, I got bit by this deal, mean critter. He bit me right here on the arm where them scars are right there. I picked him off, threw him under the bush hog. And oh man, I ended up having a stroke and all kinds of stuff happened to me. But in the morning, when the sun came up, as soon as the sun hit my head, fire went into my body. And look at me, look at me. I'm healed. No stroke. Okay. Snakes, they ain't powerful. Jesus is. Okay. It will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. I've been telling you about that for days. Now let me finish. John something. Hang on. Let me find it. Got it. John chapter 3. Okay, I'm almost finished. Y'all got a couple more minutes or is it too late already? Does that say 8:27? Is that right or is this one right? Now I'm fixing to share a verse with you that when I found it, changed my world again. The Father loves the Son and has entrusted, has given, committed. How much? What does your Bible say? See, mine says everything. All and everything are similar. Into his hands. What did he give us? What did Jesus give us? That's exactly right. All right. It says in my Bible, he who believes, that's me. Say it, I believe.
I believe.
Come on, say, I believe.
I believe.
This verse is for me.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
Shalabaka ta ta ta. He who believes in, has faith in, clings to, and relies on the Son. I believe in the Son of God. I believe God raised him from the dead. I believe resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And if you believe, my Bible says he will quicken your mortal bodies. For the quickening. The Son has. Now. N-O-W in the Amplified. Now. It's not a future thing. It's not a point in the future that we're going to drudge along until hopefully we're good enough to make it there. And maybe if we get there, he won't be angry with his big stick and he'll give me a morsel. I disagree with that. It's the now God. It's the resurrection God, power now. And it's for everybody that believes. Okay. The disobedient, unbelieving, refuse to trust in, disregard, is not subject to the Son, will never see, experience life. But instead, the wrath of God abides. That's not for me. That's not for me. I'm in the first part. Do you understand in the King James, I think it doesn't it say something like without limit or something like that? Or measure or something, or without measure or limit. So, do you understand how big our work is growing? Do you see, I'm not a relaxed fellow. I enjoy myself. I am serious death for hell. I'm burning hell to the ground. That's how it's going to be. And it doesn't matter to me where I find it. It's got to burn down. All right. Now, there's this fellow I work with. Okay, let me close this Bible so it won't... These things, it will never shut up. It just steady, just hollers at you. Hey, you. Hey, you. What about me? What about me? Okay. Da, 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 da. Okay, there's this fellow I work with. I love this story. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to tell you this. I didn't think I was going to get to. But the time was allotted, and it's good. Thank y'all very much. I'm very pleased with it. Because this is going to blow your socks clean off of you. You're going to walk out of here just sockless. Oh, well, for the ones of y'all that wear them still. And this fella, he's just a. I'm gonna try to be kind as I can. But there's a lot of things about this fella that I work with this guy. There's a whole stack of stuff about him I don't like. He's fairly competent. He's all right, I guess, in lots of ways. But he's just irritating as the day is long in most subjects. And so I've learned how to work with this guy. And he, you know, and finally I just fussed at him all. You know, and I just told him, I just went over right in front of this guy and I'm fussing at everybody, but I'm looking at this one guy. And he's just sitting there looking at me. And the guy was a killer before he got saved. He had killed 5 humans with his hands. He's not afraid of me at all. The reason he works with me is because of the fear of God. The reason I don't run him off is because of the fear of God. And, you know, but then God decided to make it work. You know what fixed it? We was in service together, several hundred of us, a few thousand maybe. And God just rolled in like a fog. Have you ever seen that before? It's called Shekinah glory. He rolled in, and as he rolled across us, we got hammered. All of us. And ever since then, we've all kind of been lit on fire or something. And him too. Yeah. Woo! And so he went out and started starting all these churches. So he ends up with a whole stack of new churches, like 30 of them. And there's this one village that he's been working on for years and years and years. And they finally told him, they said to him, "You come back in here, we're going to kill you. Where I live, there are no idle threats." And so the... Yeah, I must clean up my mess. Miss Hogan taught me that. And so... he goes out to church after they threatened him. He goes the next day, he goes to church, comes back, and the people, it was a little while later, the people that had threatened to kill him are at his own, at his personal house. Now, this is a different village. They don't have any authority there at all. Okay. He does. And he goes walking up. He's just this little dumpy fella. He goes walking up there and he goes, "Ike, what do you want?" And they go, "Well, we know we told you we was going to kill you next time. But didn't you tell us that your God raises the dead?" "Yes, he does." "Well, my sister died," he said. This is the guy that's fixing to kill him. 20 years they've hated each other. And the man goes, "I need you to come down to Posarica. That's like an hour and a half, 2 hours from them. She's in the hospital, man. She's in the hospital down there. And she's dead and she's in the morgue." Here we go. "I so got you." And she goes, he goes, "No, that's not how it's going to go. You notice how me personally, you got your whole ideas, and I look at some of y'all and I'll go, no, that's not what's going to happen. It's because your way is not working. Why do you want to try to keep forcing it on me? What's up with you? Lose it. Let's do the gospel. Let's do the gospel." So the little dumpy pastor that I hadn't liked for a lot of years, he says, "I'm not coming." Boy, I really thought of him. I thought my admiration for him is steadily growing the more he walks in this power of the Holy Ghost. He goes, I'm not going. Tomorrow morning, I've got a service. Tomorrow night, I've got a service. The next day in the morning, I've got a service. After that, I can come. Y'all wait for me. All right, now, I know how it goes in your world. If you go to the pastor and he don't jump through the hula hoop you brought, and it don't matter how high you set it, if he don't do jump loops through it, by God. You know what? Bury him. Shut up. Gosh. Whiny kids. Where'd you come up with the being in charge thing anyway? Ridiculous. Okay. So the man, the mean guy, says, unsaved mean guy, says, "Whatever you say, we'll be waiting." And the pastor goes, "I'll be there." So now, by the time he gets down to the hospital in Costa Rica, it's 2.5 days since she's been in the morgue, in the freezer. "I so got you." And so he walks in there. And now it's the whole family. Do you understand? It's not just a few of the bad guys. Now you got the whole pile of them in there. It's dozens of them in there. These families are big. And they stand tight with each other. As well as you should. And so he walks in there and he finds these people and they go, you know, they're abrasive, they're unbelievers, they're idolatrous, they're devils. It's what they do is abuse people. And they go, you go down there and pray for our sister. You know what his response was? No, I'm not going to do that. Here's how it's going to go. I've had time to think about it. And this is what you're going to do. All of y'all are going to get born again. See? See, in y'all's world, it's all about, Father, please bend their will. God, let me have favor with them, please, God. Oh, they're so powerful beings, God. Their devil is so big. And so, the guy that was going to kill him, remember? He's the head of the family. He turns and looks at the family. He says, I don't know what born again is, but we're doing it. And so, the little dumpy, mean preacher reaches in his backpack, pulls his Bible out, rears back. You ought to see this guy. He's just a little dumpy fellow. He just smiles. You ought to see him. He's just who he is. And he just smiles at him. He's got this old tore up Bible. And he just preaches to him about what salvation is and who Jesus is and what resurrection power is and who the authority is and who it belongs to. He said, now kneel down and get born again right now. And so they all knelt down and prayed. Now see, your doctrine makes no allowances for people like us. We're the winners of the bunch. We're the unlimited crowd. We're the crowd that don't have to have all this technical bull in the way. There ain't got to be no rules. The rules is Jesus is King. That's the rules. So if all these people are saved, and in y'all's world they're not, but in our world they are. And he says, all right, now all y'all got born again, now stand up. They all get up. They say, now come with me, because now that you're born again, you're going to use what you just got. You're going with me to the morgue, and we're going to raise y'all's sister from the dead. So they all march. Could you imagine this big horde of people marching down to the morgue? These doctors come. They pull her out of the thing and put her on the slab. She's frozen. Boy, what happens next is weird. And they stand around her and he tells them how to pray. He says, you pray in Jesus' name. You thank God for the blood covenant and for the resurrection power. And they started doing it. These people have been born again 5 minutes. And they start praying for their sister. And in front of everybody, whack, she sits up. Gotcha. Oh, you want to be stretched? There you go. And, you know, everybody says to me, man, what's wrong with you? Dude, you listen to me. How can I not be like I am? I'm telling you, these people, I used to be on fire, you know. I remember when I was on fire. And these old Christians come up to me, you better calm down, boy. And I look at them, why? Because you're going to burn out. And I told them, the day it happens, I'll come let you know. And this has been, what, 37 or so, no, 40 years or something later. Long time. And we're still burning. You ought to have seen the doctors. The doctors have flipped out. They got it on the camera thing. The digital deal, they got it. They got the dead raising on the digital camera. And they are freaked out. Woo! Woo! Man, I got the best job in the world. So, this is what I thought we'd do since it might be a minute before I see you again. Odds are pretty high, it might be. I thought what we'd do is stand up and worship God for a minute. I know it's time to go. I got that. It's possible I got further to drive tomorrow than you do. Holy Ghost, woo! People are constantly asking me, how did you get this going? How did you get a hold of God to make this flow like this? And it's the same answer. I don't know. I just did this right here. And he said, that'll work. And we kept doing it. And the results are amazing. So we're digging in. Dig a little deeper in the well, boy. If you want a cool drink of water, you gotta dig a little deeper in the well.